You're with us today. It's Tuesday Speak Up. My name is Barbara, and our guest today is Whitney Lilly, who is a medical professional at Internal Medicine Associates. You know, so Whitney is my go-to medical professional, and I've known for several years how much I appreciate her enthusiasm, her expertise, her advice, her medical counsel. But it wasn't until I was preparing for this program that I actually asked for a bio from her so I could share her resume with all of you listeners. Well, I'm here to tell you her credentials are more impressive than even I was thinking. She has an undergraduate degree in the science of nursing. She has a master's degree in the science of nursing. Of course, she's an RN. And she is also a family nurse practitioner, a certified family nurse practitioner. And she can write prescriptions. And she's also a certified dietitian nutritionist. This is the whole package, everybody. So I also want to give her some recognition. I know she's going to be embarrassed, but, you know, getting her nurse practitioner's degree, I guess you could call it, certification, is like a second master's degree. And she graduated with honors from that program. So we have a lot to talk about, and we have a very able guest here to help us sort through some of the health issues that we're going to talk about. So don't go anyplace. Stay right where you are, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Raptors. I'm Roy. He's Stan. We're from Triple Play over in North Idaho.
Hey, I have some news. I got my new phone today.
Wouldn't that be breaking news?
Okay, funny guy. Not bad, Roy, not bad.
Seriously, how many phones have you broken at this point?
You know, 3 or 4 dozen or so.
How does one dinosaur break that many phones?
Accidentally kicking it into the wave pool, losing it in the dark on XD Dark Ride, watching it tumble into the water at mini golf, unintentionally crushing it while bowling.
I'd say I can't believe it, but I can. I totally can.
Do you have pockets? I don't either.
The Raptors are brought to you by Triple Play, where you can race go-karts, play laser tag, climb a ropes course, and splash around in Raptor Reef indoor water park. Plus, it's all attached to a cozy hotel. Visit 3play.com.
I gotta show you this funny picture of my phone. Yes.
And score another for the wave pool.
Now is the time to gear up and get those spring projects together. Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you. Spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel or desktop, or beams up to 44 feet long. Just about anything you can dream up, the guys at TNT can help design. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all of your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive prices, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out their website, tntbeams.com.
Are you shopping for new furniture but frustrated with the lack of selection? Hi, Mike here for Sandpoint Furniture Carpet One. It's been a challenging time for all of us, to say the least. But I want you to know that Sandpoint Furniture has a good selection of home furnishings that has arrived and ready for delivery. Sandpoint Furniture welcomes you to stop by our showroom featuring the latest styles and colors in living room, bedroom, and dining room. See the latest in home office and entertainment designed to accommodate the new digital world we live in. And we do sell the floor models when you need it now. Get a good night's sleep on this plush comfort queen mattress set from Serta for only $649 the set. With over 30 comfort levels from Beautyrest to Tempur-Pedic, Sandpoint Furniture has your mattress. See us at sandpointfurniture.com.
Hi, I'm head football coach Ryan Knowles from Sandpoint High School, urging you to help out the Bulldog football program by participating in our inaugural truck raffle. Tickets are $5 each and are available now from student athletes or online at spbulldogs.com for a chance to win a brand new 2021 Chevy Colorado from Taylor & Son Chevy. Proceeds will allow players to earn merchandise incentives for the upcoming season. The winning raffle ticket will be drawn during halftime of our homecoming game on Friday, October 1st.
97.1 FM is North Idaho's radio.
All right, everybody, here we are. Join me and say hello and welcome to Whitney Lilly. We're just so happy to have you here today.
Hello, everybody.
You know, you said something in your email to me that you had been at one point in your career a coordinator or a manager for a kidney transplant, and it was that experience that led you to want to go back and do family nurse practitioner. Why?
So as a coordinator role, I was in the office most of the time, which took me away from the bedside, the patients. I mean, when I was with the patients and their family, it was very intimate and very concentrated, which was what I loved. But it was kind of the background work, the prior auths, the sitting on the phone for an hour with insurance that I didn't absolutely love. And I had some really, really phenomenal providers, Dr. Bennett and Dr. Batuk, who showed me what being in advanced care and caring for patients really was. And it prompted me and motivated me to go back. And, you know, I was like, how can I get back there? I just continue on with my MSN, my executive nursing. But, you know, again, that master's degree in management takes you away from the bedside. But I would like to utilize my advanced degree. So I spent some time researching, this allowed me to continue to work with office staff, and then also be back to the bedside with patients and have their best interest in the advocating for them. You know, I feel like coming up, being a nurse, working in the management and office side of things behind the scenes provides me more information to give to the patient, and then also kind of know how to word things a little bit better so that I can benefit the patient a little bit better on paper as well.
We won't say game the system, but just use the system for the benefit of the patient to work through some of that red tape.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say manipulated. I would say knowing the lines and staying within them to, you know, reap the benefits.
Well, we're happy to have you at our bedside.
Thank you.
Like, you know, one of the big jobs that I see that you folks do at internal medicine, apart from treating your patient when they get into a very difficult situation, is the whole screening and prevention part that we do. Mm-hmm. And I know people have heard this, but I honestly think people need to be reminded that they don't always keep up on the screenings. So go ahead. You had a thought.
I am very much, very much a believer in preventative care. I think you can kind of come in between that, you know, the onset and then kind of the long-term risks and long-term consequences of untreated disease all by one little screening, you know, early management. Medicare and certain insurances put forth these, behind the cost and their recommendations. But essentially, there's kind of these overall guidelines that most of us providers go by. And for me, you know, I enjoy seeing my patients once a year so that things don't get lost. We do blood work. We talk about preventative screens, make sure we're up to date.
Right.
And then throughout the year, that's when you come in for your sick visits or, you know, if anything comes about. But checking in once a year is really, I think, important to the patient's health and then also the relationship between the provider and the patient.
You know, not anymore. We, as a patient, speaking as a patient or a client, that we are more proactive than my parents, certainly than my grandparents ever were. They just kind of waited for something to happen. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to do that. We can stay on top of screenings and things. So the first two that are on my list here, blood pressure and cholesterol, it seems like those are the two big ones that so many people need to keep their eyes on. Mm-hmm. Tell us why those two are so important to get a handle on the numbers.
Well, can I talk about this the entire episode?
Exactly.
There's just so many things to go into both of these. And aging, independently from others, is a very large factor. Genetic history and lifestyle. So just because your cholesterol and blood pressure, and this is one I hear a lot is, well, you know, a 65-year-old, relatively healthy, limited comorbidities comes in and, well, you know, and his blood pressure is 40 points over systolic than what the goal would be. And they're upset and they say, well, this never happened. I've always had, you know, really low blood pressure. Well, you know, you know, things have been done throughout the life to, you know, set you up for maybe an elevated blood pressure later in life. And then you slap age on top of that. And here you are with a borderline elevated blood pressure, which in itself can have long-term consequences, less short-term consequences with a slightly elevated. But long-term, you know, you're looking at large vessel and small vessel disease. That's your heart, your eyes, your kidneys, you know. So that's another reason why annual appointments are so important. And if people have borderline high blood pressure, you know, getting in early, making lifestyle changes first, mm-hmm. maybe some weight loss, taking away some sodium from your diet, relaxation techniques, those kinds of things, you can kind of intervene early on before you need a pharmaceutical measure. And that, you know, I think that's what everyone's goal is.
And even sometimes if you do those changes, but you may still have elevated blood pressure, you know, there is still another option. You can with your doctor start some kind of a gateway drug to control your blood pressure, because it is genetic, or it mm-hmm. is something that's mm-hmm. running in your family, and you are going to need drugs. So you can eat all the kale you want. So just to be open to whatever it is that's going to work for you.
Totally. And not every person is the same. There's a belt. I mean, I have a ton of one-liners, but one of them is, you know, it could be a 95 or 90 pound, 55-year-old woman who runs marathons every day. And I'm going to sit across from you and tell you, you have high cholesterol and you're at risk for a heart attack and stroke. I mean, so you just can't get away from these things. Yeah, with the blood pressure as well, genetics play such a role. And so making sure you're healthy in different avenues to help support maybe a genetic disposition.
You know, one of the things I've read is that there is a tendency for some doctors to try to get a 75-year-old's blood pressure to look like a 20-year-old's blood pressure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Blood pressure does kind of want to creep up as we mm-hmm. age. Do you have a feeling that we shouldn't necessarily try to push it way down, but just keep it like at 75, keep it under 140, under 150 even, and
yeah.
be good?
So let me come back to the American College of Cardiology Association, because yes, we use that as a guideline with the cholesterol as well. But you know, you may hear me say this a lot, and I think you would hear a lot of providers agree, is that it's patient specific, mm-hmm. and there's independent and individual risk factors. You don't just look at a blood pressure or cholesterol and just look at that and treat that. You look at the entire picture. So, for instance, if a 75-year-old has significant cardiovascular disease, maybe a moderately occluded, you know, active occlusion with 4 stents and a stroke in the last 10 years, I'm going to treat their blood pressure to goal, which would be lower than someone else, a 75-year-old that didn't have that. You know, as we age, the risk of low blood pressure without comorbidities outweighs the risk of higher blood pressure, because mm-hmm. a fall is detrimental
mm-hmm.
and a head blow is, you know, potentially life-ending.
Love that approach that it's patient-specific. I mean, really, that to me is so important.
It really is. Yeah. Completely agree. Yeah. And that's why we have appointments. We don't just get your values over the computer. And we send you a message back. We sit down and talk to you and get to know you. And so if you would like me to comment on the blood pressure recommendations, I'm happy to.
No, because it'll be, you know, patient specific. Mm-hmm. But I think the message is get it tested and maybe even have be able to test
Absolutely.
Your blood pressure.
And I think just a good rule of thumb is around 130 over 80.
Yeah,
for blood pressure.
Yeah, my wish.
You're close.
You know, diabetes is another test. We are blood glucose, and mm-hmm. that's in that blood test that we take mm-hmm. every year.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that important?
Well, so it's a CMP, a complete metabolic panel, and that's one of the reasons why your provider will ask you to do fasting blood work, is it's the cholesterol and the fasting glucose, and that's kind of the first step in understanding how your body is metabolizing and using sugar. So the range is 60 to 99 and over 99. to 100 would be considered pre-diabetes. But, you know, there's type 1, there's type 1.5 now, and there's type 2 diabetes. Type 1, you're probably going to know before the age of 20, you know, possibly maybe late onset. But, you know, that monitoring your blood sugar every year prompts a discussion with your provider as you see it trend up on your fasting glucose.
You know, we've all read the articles that it seems that more and more younger people, I mean, actually down into teenagers, are testing high on type 2 diabetes, on blood glucose and mm-hmm. their tests. Mm-hmm. Why is that happening? What is happening that's happening? It used to be you had to be 60 or something. Oh, grandpa's
yeah.
got it.
Yeah, and it used to be associated with obesity as well.
Yeah.
You know, but I treat 18 and older people, but I generally see 40 and over, so I'm not really, really well-versed in pediatric type presentation. But I guess, you know, just thinking about it and considering for even people who are 30 and 40s, you know, it is the body habitus, you know, another one-liner is your muscles are sugar sponges. So mm-hmm. when you exercise, when you're lifting weights, when you're walking, you're using the sugar that you eat. If you don't, it gets deposited. And there we are. Diabetes.
And it gets deposited as glucose. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And does that turn into fat, or that's a different metabolism process?
It does. It helps. It helps support the fat.
Yeah. They're also fat sponges.
Hopefully not. I mean, no one wants to do that. But, you know, I think the sedentary behavior and the poor diet and, you know, also like I'm not going to get into this too far, but, you know, you don't have a lot of money, you're just out of college and barely surviving, or in college and, you know, there's a burger for $3 or there's a nice, awesome salad with quinoa on it for $15. Which one are you going to eat?
Yeah, exactly. They're going to eat the burger. I know you know that.
I mean, and I might too, so.
Well, it's all the choices, and I've kind of got that a little bit later on, but we can touch on it now. I was thinking about this, Whitney, and I was thinking, you know, our health, this is such a cliche in a way, but it is like a three-legged stool. And, you know, one part of it is what we eat, and the other part is our exercise, and then the other part is you. It's our doctors and our nurses who help us understand tests and intervene when intervention. But two of the three are mm-hmm. in my control. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that's putting that hamburger in my face and not walking.
Thank you for recognizing that. Yeah, sometimes not everybody does.
But it's true. I mean, two of the three, two-thirds of my health picture are really, to a certain extent, under my control if you just, discount genetics or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I just think we have to step up and be responsible for what's going on in our bodies. I know I'm preaching to the choir right now. And
yes.
Whitney's like nodding her head like, yes,
but,
it's you.
You know, you could correlate it with, you know, I'm not well-versed in the financial market, so I depend on my accountant to inform me, you know. And if I want to be informed, I'm going to go talk to him. But, you know, essentially I'm going to make my own choices. And, you know, as a provider, I just feel it's my responsibility and my drive and my passion to talk about and inform. And, you know, and then, you know, as much as I don't like it, I'm going to respect what the patient decides or the person decides. And I'm going to learn how to support them in their goals of care.
Remind them the next year that they come in.
Every chance I get, I'm going to give them a little elbow and say, take that walk.
She is a little bit of a nag. I'll give her that. You know, the very first time that I met Dr. Crane, I guess I can tell this story on the air. I had, he was going to be and is, of course, my physician, I guess you would say. He told me to get a book and read it. I mean, of all the things we talked about in that big, long examination years and years ago, he told me to buy and read Covert Bailey's something about smart exercise.
Interesting.
And it was just the best book. It's maybe a little bit dated now, I don't know. But that
concepts
was quite
are probably
a, yeah,
still valid.
Exactly. And it was just boom. I mean, of all that he could have said to me that day, that was the one, Covert Bailey's, something like smart exercise. And I still have the book. I was so impressed. I mean, it was like he was saying, this is important and this is something you can do. And I do still exercise. All right. So blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes. I think a lot of people don't go and do skin cancer. And I know that's not your area, but, you know, you could look at if you see something as you're examining a person. We need to go in for a skin check every year, don't we?
It's recommended a skin check every year. Certainly, I think general providers just do a visual, whatever skin's available. And, you know, a lot of the skin cancers present on, you know, the skin that's most often in the sun and exposed to the environment. And so, you know, I would encourage people to look at their body at home and not only look but feel. Because especially pre-squamous cell cancers, actinic keratoses, present with more of a hypertrophic, so kind of a rough sensation. And then if you look closer, have like a pink base. And these are the slower growing cancers, but still something to watch for. So, you know, not only looking, but feeling.
Yeah, that's really important. All right, we're up against a break. We're going to take it right now. We've got several more tests, screening tests that you're going to want to hear about, be reminded about. And then we have some other topics also that we're going to talk about with Whitney Lilly, all about right after this.
Pepsi Outdoor Summer Concerts presents Billy Idol. Rockin' BECU Live, August 12th. See bad boy Billy Idol live at Northern Quest. Get tickets now at northernquest.com.
The Pet Patrol and Trading Post can now be found at our website, northidahoradio.com. If you have lost or have found an animal, just log on to northidahoradio.com and click on the Pet Patrol tab. The Trading Post, brought to you by Co-op Gas and Supply, is also available to view and post on our web outlet. The Pet Patrol and Trading Post, a service of North Idaho's radio, KSPT KBFI, and online at northidahoradio.com.
How about putting a little bling in your spring? Let's make it happen at the Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry. April is for winners, and we're celebrating in a big way by putting $84,000 in Plinko cash up for grabs. Qualify all month long to get your share. Weekday room rates in the Kootenai Falls Lodge start at just $59 a night, while weekend rates start at just $99. And when you need a break from winning bling, our Springs restaurant will tempt you with four amazing lunch and dinner specials for just $10 each. And our April spa special is out of this world. Get a scalp ritual, 30-minute massage, and our signature facial for just $119. Put some bling in your spring with a shot at $84,000 in Plinko cash. To book your Kootenai Casino getaway, call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
ADHD. It's the child who can't pay attention or sit still in school, right? The answer may be yes. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be complicated and it can last a lifetime. Living with a condition can sometimes be a challenge. It may take years to accept a formal diagnosis, and it's not always easy to find the right treatment plan. Did you know that up to 75% of children and adolescents with ADHD have at least one additional mental health condition that also requires a comprehensive approach to treatment? ADHD guidelines were recently updated to reflect the need to screen for associated disorders. Be sure to talk with your child's doctor about proper screening and visit moretoadhd.com for additional information. That's moretoadhd.com. This message has been brought to you in partnership with ADA, ACO, and CHAD.
Listen live anytime, anywhere with our new website, northidahoradio.com.
All right, here we are again. We're talking today with Whitney Lilly. She is the family nurse practitioner. She is an RN. She's got degrees. She just knows everything that we want to know. I'm trying to figure out a question that I could ask to stump her, and I don't think
Please
I
don't
can.
Try.
She is at Internal Medicine Associates. Are you folks open to having new patients?
Yes. We have three providers total. Dr. Crane has been there for decades and was one of the original fours. And then myself and Paige Russell, two nurse practitioners, are taking new patients.
All right. So 208-263-6876. If you want to follow up on this with Whitney or one of her colleagues, if you have not been having your annual exams and talking that over with someone who can help you understand those numbers, then you may want to consult with them or any local office or doctor. You know, it's important before you're in the ER to have a doctor in your pocket who knows your background, who knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. You've got some history with each other.
And
it's
important. And oftentimes it's more difficult to schedule a new patient appointment rather than just a follow-up or get in to see a regular provider. And I appreciate the advertisement just a minute ago. I do love what I do, but I will comment that Sandpoint's incredibly lucky. We have the best providers here and the specialists in our small community. We are just so, so lucky.
I know. I agree with that. I've been here long enough to have some experience and some needs met. And I love it. The mm-hmm. skiing, the lake, you know, we're
the
in a
smart
great
people,
place. And
yeah.
it draws in the people that we want to draw
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. Good
so
community.
Happy for that. All right. Well, let's stay with our topic of screenings, that why people need to do them and to be reminded of why it's important. For women, having an annual mammogram is really very important.
It is really important. It's up there with, you know, one of the annual to every other year screens. And, you know, historically it's been start at 40. There's been some groups more recently that say start at 45, back and forth on every year to every other year. Again, patient-specific situation and profile. You know, if you have risk factors of breast disease, cancer specifically, you know, like excessive estrogen use after menopause or family history, you know, then you're going to be at higher risk. So you'll want to get in to get a mammogram sooner.
I know there are different age recommendations for the pap smear, which is looking for cervical cancer. What is going on with that? What is the most recent recommendation for women?
So the most recent is 21 years. So let me think back, because normally I see people who are over 40. So if you're sexually active, you start at 21. If you're not, no matter what, you start at age 25. It's every 3 years up until age 30, and then you can move to every 3 to 5 years.
Unless there's some reason that doctor says we need to take another look at this in 6 months or a year or whatever.
Yep, and usually it's a 1 year follow up for kind of low grade cell changes, and then it's sooner for high grade, and then, you know, going into treatment, it would be like a colposcopy or a leak procedure, which treat the lesions on the cervix so that you don't have to have a removal or end up to a cancerous situation.
You know, we have so many people listening to our programs, and I think we have just surprised a lot of people to think that at 21, you may need to be going in and getting a pap smear. Mm-hmm. I just don't think some of our younger women or even their moms are aware that it could be at that young you need to get started.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, a very low risk at that age because you have such healthy young cells that the cell turnover is so quickly. So if you did develop a lesion, usually you can turn it over fairly quickly and clear the virus that is usually precancerous like HPV. But, you know, call me I suppose I'm, you know, in my first decade of being a nurse practitioner, but I generally like to have more information, and I am more on the air of caution, just because I see what untreated, low-grade diseases and pathology can turn into. So I would say, yes, at age 21, you should meet with your provider and decide if a pap smear would be a good decision for you to move forward to prevent further issues.
You know, I'm wondering if it would also be wise just for a baseline, even your mammogram, to get a baseline in there. And I think you said 30, unless there's some other reason
for
to
a mammogram?
Go earlier for a mammogram. And then they've got a baseline. So the next time they see you, they have where you were 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So I love baselines. I really do, because then you have a jumping off point. You can always refer back, because in medicine, a lot of the times the trend is what you're looking at. But you know, with regard specifically to the mammogram, studies have shown that there have been actually more harm than good starting mammograms early, because there's false positives, which then go to ultrasounds, biopsies, nerve damage, unneeded stress. So I would definitely stick with that 40, you know, general type.
40.
Unless you got a unless you have a family history, you know, specifically the BRCA gene, which they can test for now, and you can, you know, that's a genetic disposition. But again, just checking with your provider if you have any concerns at all.
Okay. So, but again, for the baseline, so 40 would 40. Be, unless there's some other reason that it needs to be earlier and your doctor would be telling you that, to get that baseline in there. And
yep.
And then they have something every year, every 3 years, to whatever it is that they can compare it to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me see. You mentioned HPV. What about sexually transmitted diseases? How, and again, I know that might be a younger population, though not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
I think somebody might be surprised at grandpa or something going. But what's going on there with terms of screening and tests to take?
There's not a specific guideline that I follow, but it does come up in conversation fairly regularly at annual appointments, or if people are having associated type of symptoms. Generally, anybody who's, I would say under the age of 40 and not in a monogamous relationship, I offer them sexually transmitted diseases testing a couple times a year, you know, just to check in, talk to
Is
them about
a blood test
safe
or?
Practice. It can be either way.
Okay.
You know, and believe it or not, you know, when you turn 65, you get on Medicare, and part of the Medicare annual risk screen that Medicare requires, sexually transmitted disease discussion is required.
Really? Mm-hmm. Have we talked about that?
I'm sure I've asked you.
Really?
Yep. Because my one-liner is, I'm going to have to document that you're declining.
That must have been a short conversation.
Well, you know.
I don't remember.
Yeah, so, you know, so generally women present with symptoms. You know, men are more asymptomatic.
So in a way there are symptoms that they might bring in and that would. But so for Medicare, you're required. I love that.
I know. I just think it's the strangest thing.
That's a crack up. Well, that's because the government figured it out.
Well,
why ask the 20-year-old who's active? Let's ask grandpa at
75. Well, I mean, we don't know what goes on at those nursing facilities.
I know. Anyway, all right. Have we gone down a rabbit trail?
I think so. Maybe we should bring it back in. Let's pull it and rein it in.
You know, I was just looking at my list here, and I'm looking at bone density or DEXA.
Mm-hmm.
And at least for everybody I know, women, they always do that. But men should have DEXAs too. Do they get them as often as we do?
They don't, unless they're high risk, you know, or they have risk factors. You know, steroid exposure. People who have asthma constantly getting oral steroids. People with autoimmune disease. Yeah, you know, you could also consider a small frame. Oftentimes, if people get x-rays, it'll be incidental finding. Mm-hmm. You know, an x-ray, you know, we got some bone thinning in your femur and your hip. Okay, well, let's go ahead and do a DEXA and look at your whole body composition and talk about bone demineralization. So with women, too, it's not recommended till after 65. But again, looking at the patient profile and looking at their risk factors independently from kind of this general whole, you know, starting that early. And again, and genetics is a big one, too. Your mom, if my mom was on Fosamax osteoporosis medication, at, I think 58. So I'm going to be at high risk. So I'll probably start earlier.
But they won't be giving you Fosamax. Not anymore.
Have you heard something I haven't?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll talk afterwards.
Okay.
Why, did I hear you say that women have a greater need for DEXAs and the bone osteopenia or osteoporosis mm-hmm. than men? Why is that?
After menopause, our bone turnover occurs much more quickly. Once the estrogen, once we go through menopause and we have lower levels of estrogen, the bone breakdown occurs more frequently. Mm-hmm. And men oftentimes have higher levels of vitamin D, mm-hmm. Which help to absorb calcium and utilize it. So,
men for a greater, is it also true? I mean, they have bigger, heavier bone frames mm-hmm, than we do. They're not just bigger, so, their bones are bigger.
And something that I don't know that I would admit often, but, you know, one, the upside or a upside of being obese is you have weight on your bones, which are causing them to turn over. So if you have osteoporosis or osteopenia, the bone thinning or bone pure bone demineralization, you want to do weight-bearing exercises, which promotes bone turnover. Well, if you're obese, you're kind of doing that with every movement. Men have a greater, you know, oftentimes, you know, more muscle mass, which are heavier. So they, you know, that's of consideration
as well. I think we just heard Whitney Lilly say.
I didn't. I said I don't want
it. Go eat that cheeseburger. No, she didn't say that.
I did not say that.
You did not.
All in moderation. But it is weight bearing. Quality of life.
Yeah. And that doesn't have to mean lifting weights in the gym. Our body, you know, hopefully within a normal weight frame, is weight bearing. When you walk, you're putting weights on your joints
walking.
And on your bones.
And I know we're not really going to get into this much, but, you know, activity and exercise, and we may get into this in a minute, but, you know, it's probably the healthiest thing you could do for your joints because it promotes synovial fluid turnover. So it's basically like changing the oil in your car every time you exercise. You re-lubricate your joints.
I love that.
I do.
All right, we're up against another break. Can't believe it. We're going to take it right now and hurry right back.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
This is Savannah with a message from North Idaho Collision Repair Center. How many of you have had a problem with your internet, phone, or cable service and called that particular company only to end up frustrated with their lack of concern for your needs? Or perhaps you've taken your vehicle in for repairs and their work was less than satisfying, or they were rude, bullied you, or maybe even made you feel like you were being taken advantage of. Regardless of whether you're calling your cable company or a repair shop, as human beings, we should never be treated like this. Being in an accident, hitting a deer, or even the garage door are traumatic enough. From the moment you walk into the North Idaho Collision Repair Center, they will take care of all of your needs, from car rentals to insurance claims and everything in between.
This is Shane from North Idaho Collision, giving you my promise that we genuinely care about you on a personal level and are passionate about the way your vehicle is repaired. So come in and feel the difference at North Idaho Collision. And remember, it's always your choice where your vehicle is repaired.
For more information, visit them online at nicrepaircenter.com.
It's time for spring savings at Knuts and Chevrolet. Hi, this is Lauren to let you know you can save 33% off MSRP on a new 2021 Chevy Equinox LT all-wheel drive. Buy this one now for only $21,917. Or what about a new 2021 Chevy Silverado Crew Cab 4x4 for only $35,991? That's 16% off MSRP. VINs are posted in our showroom. See dealer for details. Prices are plus tax and fees and after rebates. You must be a current owner or lessee of a 2007 or newer non-GM car or truck to qualify for rebate. Test drive our new online shopping experience with ShopClickDrive at Knutson.com. Experience our commitment to your safety and security with vehicle pickup and delivery at your home or office for service appointments or test drives. Find new roads at Knutson Chevrolet. Minutes west of Coeur d'Alene, just a short drive east of Spokane at 1900 East Polston Avenue, Post Falls. Knutson Chevrolet, hard to say, easy to save.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans and your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast, helping to improve the lives of their fellow veterans through the VA Voluntary Services Program. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. Even if you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.com.
North Idaho's Radio, 1400, 1450 AM and 97.1 FM.
I appreciate so much your being with us today. And, you know, if you've missed a part of this program, you want to go back and hear the first part. It's well worth it. We're talking with Whitney Lilly today, and you can catch the archive version of this program at our website, northidahoradio.com. It'll post later today. Certainly by tomorrow, it'll be at northidahoradio.com. So check it out. Well, Whitney, we want to talk about colonoscopies, or cancer screenings.
Yeah,
looking at screenings in that area. What's going on there?
So this is definitely one I wanted to touch base on because, you know, before there was the only option was boom, 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 colonoscopy, which no one wants to have. It's not a fun thing. It's not a fun idea. But it's really important. My partner, Dr. Crane, is very involved in this screen. He actually performs them, so I have privilege to get inside knowledge and hear him talk. And I think he states that you have a 1 in 4 chance of getting colon cancer, and colonoscopies are gold standard, yes, mm-hmm. because they go in and their treatment and screen at the same time, because if you were to see a precancerous lesion, which a lot of us have, you just clip it and you're done. And then, you know, the recommendation for follow-up may be 3 years or 5 years. If there's nothing, it's 10 years. But, you know, with that being said, colonoscopy is the gold standard. We start at age 50 unless you have a positive family history. But moving forward, people who are absolutely no-go, which I have some family members like this, my dad. However, you know, I've convinced him and talked to other people about this, is there's other options, such as a Cologuard is kind of the newest one and kind of second in line to colonoscopy. You've seen commercials. It's the, you know, you have bowel movement, you stick it in a box and you send it away. That's all you do. And it gives you a 3-year screen kind of line. And what it does is it looks for antigen specifics, so protein specifics to certain kinds of polyps, and that can so you would get a positive or a negative. If it is a positive, hey, you know, you have the knowledge, you can make the right decision for your body, right decision for yourself. You know, are you okay with going on with these possible precancerous polyps, or would you like to get in there and
then
get it taken care of?
For yep. the colonoscopy.
So you're not going in blind. Yep. You're informed.
Yeah. Did you call it Cologuard?
Cologuard.
So it's just something you buy online or at the pharmacy, or
actually your provider. Yep, your provider orders it. We bill your insurance. Your insurance covers it just like a colonoscopy. And it's a really nice alternative. Again, not the gold standard. And I always recommend everybody have at least one colonoscopy to get visualization of the mucosa and then move on. But you know, it's a good alternative. And then I was just going to say
kind of a baseline at 50 or so, go. It's not that bad.
I've never had one, but I'll say I don't, you know what, you know, it's a day thing, half a day thing to have your peace of mind. You know, a lot of the times, you know, by the time colon cancer rears its ugly head, you're at stage 3. Mm-hmm. And it's not a fun cancer to go through.
And you said 1 in 4.
Yep.
Now that.
Lifelong.
That is high, lifelong through mm-hmm. your elderly years, but still that's an incredible incidence.
20%, yeah. I'd play the lottery every day.
You know, I want to talk to you or someone about our whole gut biome. I just think that as mm-hmm. everybody's been reading and talking about, you know, the way our gut mm-hmm. goes is the way, mm-hmm. you know, our body goes. It's like our second brain down there, you know?
I haven't spent a lot of time researching this, but what I have read, the correlation is pretty strong, mm-hmm. you know, because then if you break it down to what we're putting into our body, the chemicals and the macros and micros and medications, you know, what even what's in our water, you know.
Or what's not in our water.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and, you know, and probiotic is so beneficial in so many reasons. And there's so many different types of probiotics. So a gut-specific probiotic really promotes that good intestinal bacteria.
Yeah.
You know, because like anywhere on the body, there's good and bad bacteria. So you want to promote the good.
You know, Whitney, I can't believe we're not running. We're not out of time yet, but we're going to get there. I want to get to vitamin D. I heard a doctor say we do not have flu season. We have vitamin D deficiency season. Does that, you know, just comment on that. You don't feel
I mean, absolutely. And I don't even think it's a season. I think it's year round. You know, quite frankly, everyone's wearing sunscreen, you know, we're conscious of skin cancer. And that prevents vitamin D absorption through the sun. And, you know, darker skin absorbs more, lighter skin absorbs less. So vitamin D supplementation, I recommend for basically everybody. Unfortunately, it's not widely covered by insurance to check your level. But I will say, I think I've maybe had a handful out of 100 who I've tested for vitamin D that were actually proficient.
Me.
Do you take supplements though?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. I totally take supplements.
Just today, honestly, I've prescribed the treatment dose of vitamin D of 50,000 units once a week for 8 weeks, and they may not even get up to snuff. And then that leads to osteoporosis, depression, poor metabolism. I mean,
And I understand a depressed immune system that D feeds into your not only your mental well-being, but your immune well-being.
Immunity, absolutely. Yeah.
So take your vitamin D, everyone. I mean, I think we can say that on the air.
And
you
check with your doctor. But generally, the recommended amount is 800 units to 2,000. Yeah. But again, check with your provider because individual risk factors are pertinent here.
I have heard of that where people are so deficient, they've got so many things going on that you just have to like super get them up on vitamin D for.
Bolus dose. You're really dehydrated. You go to the emergency room. We get a big bag of fluid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then they don't have to stay on that 50,000. Obviously wouldn't stay on that for, recommended time.
Yes, and it's only once a week.
Yes, and don't self drug yourself. I mean, really.
Well, because even with vitamins, there are side effects that they're, you know, potentially hypocalcemia. You know, you just got to check with your provider.
That's like the jokes is, you know, people will order some herb out of Argentina through Amazon, but they won't do what their doctor is telling them to do. They
really?
Just go
that
up and
happens?
Say, well, it happens. I know. I can say, oh, yeah, no, this is a drug. I read about it online. It's good. Exercise. We've got like 30 seconds. I'll have to have you back. I'm going to find another day when you're not so busy, take you away from all of your patients.
That's okay. I love this.
But,
you know, exercise, best medicine you can do for the body. Good for your brain, good for your mind, good for your mentation, emotions, physical, muscles, bones, joints. I can't say enough.
Yeah.
You know, your confidence, you know, self well-being.
You're going to look and feel better, and you're going to actually be better.
You're going to be so many things impacted with exercise.
You know, one of the things I think that doctors don't want to tell us, or they think if they tell us the truth, we will get discouraged, but really consistent, persistent, every day if you can do it, get out there. You gotta move. You gotta be intentional.
Intentional, and that brings your mind and body together as well.
Well, Whitney, you're a delight. I thank you so much for being here. Thanks for being my nurse and my medical pro. We will definitely have you back. I want to let you know, everybody, that next week is going to be special. We are going to jump in with the library board candidates that are running for election this year. It's coming up May 18th. We have two incumbents and two other people that want to get on that board for the positions that are open. So it's going to be very interesting, very good. I'm excited about it. I hope you'll be here with us and hear the candidates present themselves to you. So until then, this is Barbara saying take care of yourselves and be blessed. Mm-hmm.